ang gagawa. Iba-ibang mukha, iba-ibang kwento. Sa Soler on Air, silip samdo ng pagkuwa. Halika, usap tayo. Dito lagi kang kasali. Sa Soler on Air, sa Soler on Air.
Magandang gabi at magiliw na pagbati sa mga tagapakinig ng Soler on Air. Dito sa Soler on Air, binibigyan pansin natin at pinag-uusapan ng mga bagong isyu at pangyayari sa larangan ng hanap buhay at paggawa para sa dagdag kaalaman at kamalayan ng ating mga kabataang manggagawa. Ako po si Classmate Lian.
Ako naman si Classmate Aileen.
At ngayong gabi, very special ang ating episode because we are going to talk about lifelong learning. Yan, Classmate I. Pero bago tayo pumunta dyan, ay basahin muna natin ang ating thought for this week.
Okay.
Working life has extended so much in the last 50 years that it exceeds life expectancy of even the most successful businesses. Very few businesses are successful for more than 25 or 30 years. And yet, most educated people who go to work in their early 20s will keep working until they are 70. And so, they better be prepared for a second career, whether it's in another organization where they are doing what they have been doing or in a new line of work. They must be prepared to work again. They must be prepared to position themselves. They must be prepared to want to learn to see it not as something they need to do, but as something they enjoy doing. They will have to learn how to learn. That's from Peter Drucker. Haba, no?
Haba. Una, akala ko parang
thoughtful.
Nakakahingal yung ano mo, a classmate, kasi hanggang 70, you have to work.
Ay, diba? Oo. Parang, in some cultures,
wala
diba?
Wala bang time to enjoy? Pero nung sinabi mo at the end na you should enjoy, diba? You should do something that you enjoy. Parang tama na din naman.
Nakahinga ka ng maluwa.
Oo, kasi parang ano, parang torture naman. Pag hindi ka nag-enjoy, diba? You are working up to 70 years old and you are not loving what you are doing, diba? Parang nakakapagod naman.
Yes, pero yung isang mahalagang punto doon, dapat nga prepared ka to take on new tasks, 'di ba? Mm-hmm. New roles. Kasi talagang magbago, malamang na magbago yung mga responsibilidad na gagampanan mo throughout your life kasi pwedeng within the parang ilang years, 40 or so years na nagtatrabaho ka, maybe even longer, I'm sure maraming magbabago.
Of course.
So have to adapt. Mm-hmm. So you have to, katulad ng ating theme for tonight, lifelong learning, you will have or we all have to learn how to learn. Yun.
Okay.
Diba? Magandang ano yan, pag-isipan, no? At
isa lang yun, classmate, huwag sarado ang isip. You should be open to new learnings.
Mm-hmm.
Diba?
Yan, oo. Mm-hmm. So, pero totoo 'yan kasi 'di ba yung work life or yung period na say productive tayo bilang mga manggagawa talagang humahaba na nang humahaba tayo si dito 65 years ang mandatory age of retirement for government employees, 'di ba? Pero in other countries, parang sa Germany, kung sa ibang bansa pa parang mas mataas na eh. 'Di ba? Padagdag sila ng padagdag kasi nga yung mga bilang ng mga mas batang mga empleyado lumiliit samantalang yung mga nag-iedad naman lumalaki. So it puts a strain on the social security system ng mga bansa. So anyway, magandang gabi uli sa ating mga tagapakinig at para tulungan tayong pag-usapan ng ating topic na lifelong learning, may kasama tayong special na panauhin. Nagpapasalamat tayo at binisita niya tayo dito sa programa para lang talaga tulungan tayong pagkwentuhan ng topic na to. Siya ay walang iba kundi si classmate Macron van der Lippe I.
Yes.
Yes, Program Manager for Southeast Asia School of Continuing and Lifelong Education or SCALE. Alam mo ba kung saan tong school na to, classmate?
Saan nga ba yan?
Oo, walang iba kundi sa UP ng Singapore. National University of Singapore. Baka nga, hindi lang UP ng Singapore, baka Harvard ng ano.
Oo nga, ang diba? Social pala ng guest natin ngayon.
Oo, at syempre, alumnus natin siya.
Yes.
Sa Soler. So, magandang gabi sa iyo, classmate Macron.
Magandang gabi sa ating lahat, mga classmates. Natutuwa ako na makadaupang palad ko kayo ulit. At sa ating mga tagapakinig, maraming salamat po sa inyong pagpapaunla.
Iyon. So, bago, para umpisahan ang ating talakayan, no? Ano nga ba itong lifelong learning? Ano ba yung konsepto nitong nitong term na to, no? Sa iyong pananaw at sa iyong mga pag-aaral doon sa NUS.
Siguro palikan din natin yung time na nasa Solera ko nung tinatapos ko yung diploma ko in Industrial Relations. Kasi that time medyo malalim na yung pinag-ugatan nung konsepto ng lifelong learning, no? So I was here 2008, I finished my program 2008. But then we already have a very strong narrative of lifelong learning globally. And the International Labor Organization actually provided this recommendation 195 that encourage economies, you know, member countries to promote lifelong learning as an integral component of economic, social, and even political growth. Because, you know, when a country reach this certain stage of development and they're able to promote a population comprising of lifelong learners or people who are upskilling themselves, then they can contribute well to the economy and they can also contribute to the well-being of the whole country, which will eventually, of course, at the end of the day, will promote peace, social justice, social security, among many others. So ILO is already playing a key role for that. OECD is also have their own definition of lifelong learning, which is basically an education from cradle to grave.
So continuing. Meaning,
yeah, continuing. Continuous, education. Yeah, continuous education from cradle to grave. So siguro medyo malalim na usapan to, pero siguro for as long as nakakaroon na ng pangunawa ang isang bata of the different societal realities in terms of, for example, matanggalan ng trabaho ang tatay niya, no? Or for example, mag-decide siya of what kind of program this person would like to take when he or she decides to enter the university. Or maybe this person doesn't even want to enter a university. They just want to enter into a technical school and become a tradesman, you know, a craftsman. The concept of lifelong learning, basically, it varies with, you know, different definitions provided by different organizations. But if you will ask me, I guess this is also like two part. One, it's an internal movement, you know. It's a personal motivation to continue learning and upskilling yourselves to get ready for the disruptions of, you know, of the workplace, you know, of the world of work. And second, this is also a national initiative, because to be able to provide an enabling space for people to pursue continuing education and additional programs to upskill themselves, then as a movement, it should be comprised of different stakeholders, government, enterprise, even not-for-profit organizations, and the workers themselves. And they should also form part of that conversation to then determine how do we upscale not just the individual, but the entire country as a whole.
Wow! Naku, lalim na agad. Umpisa pa lang, classmate.
Oh, hindi naman.
Pero come to think of it, diba? Parang every experience is a learning experience,
yes,
diba?
Course,
from birth to, yes, diba? Throughout life. Mm. So, parang ang sinasabi mo sa lifelong learning, hina-harness mo yung mga experiences mo. Correct. Throughout your life, and you try to apply these things in a way na parang matulungan ka na mas maging productive, mm-hmm, siguro, mm-hmm, or 'di ba? Yung ganun ba na idea, 'di ba? So kung ibababa natin sa talagang ano ay yun yung background siguro na maganda nating pag-usapan, ano. So, ano yung mga sources of learnings based on experience? Katulad ng sabi mo, work experience, mm. 'di ba? Pwedeng education, 'di ba? Formal or informal. So lahat 'yan pwedeng panggalingan ng pagkatuto ng isang tao. Yes. So pero bakit importante, no, na i-harness natin ngayon ito? But natin kailangang i-emphasize na oy, tayong mga magkakaklase, kailangan meron tayong awareness or consciousness na o dapat mong i-develop ang sarili mo kahit na ikaw ay tapos na ng college or kahit na ikaw ay retired, maybe,
yes,
'di ba? So, bakit? Bakit ngayon importante?
Okay. Siguro maganda rin natin tignan na over the years, marami na rin naging pag-aaral about the future of work. No? And marami na rin mga organizations, both public and private, ang nagsagawa na rin ng kanilang pag-aaral on what will be this, future skills, you know, the future of work. Bigyan ko kayo ng isang interesting finding na binigay ng mga kaibigan natin mula sa LinkedIn. Ito ay mga nakakatrabaho din namin sa Singapore. Binigyan nila kami ng list, no, of some of the most critical, essential skills na mangyayari for the next, 5-10 years. So there's this report, actually it's a public report, it can be accessible online, which is what they call Future of Skills, no, 2019. This is basically a report na ginawa nila to also address the concerns of the businesses in the workplace kasi they will also need these people. And what they recognize is that now we have actually a list of rising skills in the workplace. So they did recognize that, you know, importante yung talent to be able to drive innovation, to be able to drive revenues for the enterprise, to be able to actually contribute to the global economy and for the industry, no? And again, they also recognize na kailangan din natin ng enabled workforce na patuloy na mag-aaral, na patuloy na mag-upskill ng kanilang sarili para kung sakaling dumating yung mga disruptions ng Industry 4.0 technologies. At nandito na sila, no? Mm-hmm. Artificial intelligence, big data, at kung ano-ano pa, no? Cloud computing, pumapasok na rin yung mga ganyang competencies, no? Nakikita natin na nag-evolve na rin ang workplace. Yung mga pinag-aralan ng ating mga accountants sa limbawa in the 1990s or early 2000 or even the first decade of 2000 to 2010, by this time na pumasok sila sa workplace, kailangan na rilang matutunan yung iba pang mga tech-enabled skills na maaring mas maging valuable pa compared sa kanilang basic skills na natutunan bilang accountants kasi marami sa mga skills na to pwede nang i-drive ng artificial intelligence and machines. Usap-usapan nga, no, dito sa Singapore, sa Pilipinas, sa mga nakakausap ko, even the medical profession will also be disrupted kasi marami ng information na pwedeng ma-capture ng artificial intelligence na makakatulong para makapag-diagnose or even makapag-identify ng sakit ng isang tao. So in the same way na kailangan din ng doktor na mag-upskill. So bakit ko sinasabi itong mga bagay na ito? Bakit natin nire-refer lagi sa fundamental question na why do we need to prepare for the future? Kasi the future is really now. It's happening. And now we're talking about Industry 4.0 technologies. But maybe in the future, maybe tomorrow, there will be another Industry 4, you know, Industry 5.0. And, you know, baka pinag-aaralan pa lang natin, pinag-iisipan pa lang natin kung mag-a-adapt tayo ngayon. Pero bukas, nasa 5.0 na tayo, hindi pa natin na-adapt yung 4.0. So I guess what I'm emphasizing is we have to build a culture na ini-embrace yung mga bagong kaalaman at naghahangad pa ng bago dahil maraming mag-i-evolve sa larangan ng paggawa na kailangan nating habulin. And tayo pa, no? I mean, Pilipinas, in terms of our productivity rates, medyo mababa pa rin tayo, no? Our labor force productivity rate is somewhat meddling in between. We have a large population, pero hindi siya ganun ka-productive. But then, developing economies like Singapore, Korea, Taiwan, no, medyo mababa yung kanilang population but the productivity is high because tech-enabled services are helping them to become more productive.
So kailangan siguro ma-recognize, yung sinasabi mo classmate Macron, is we have to recognize each of us.
Yes.
Diba? Na the world is changing, that's just the world of work. Pero yes, lahat ng aspects ng buhay natin is changing and we have to get out of our comfort zone siguro.
Precisely.
No, to not be complacent.
Yes.
Diba? Dahil ang malamang na malamang ang mundo na tatahakin ng bawat isa sa atin, hindi lang ng mga mas bata, kundi kahit tayo na nandito na sa edad na to, ay mas competitive. No? Mm-hmm. Mas siguro mas maraming risks, 'di ba? At talagang yung evolution ng kung technology ay mag-drive sa mga changes na to, and we have to keep up, 'di ba? So this is where the idea of yung lifelong learning becomes really really important. I guess ang magandang pag-usapan sa pagbabalik natin after the break,
okay,
ay anong ginagawa niyo sa Singapore?
Okay.
No? Anong mga initiatives at mga programa na tungkol dito na hindi pa natin nakikita sa Pilipinas at baka mas baka magandang gawin or i-duplicate.
O pag-isipan ng gobyerno natin.
Mm-hmm. Oo. So ang oras natin mga kaklase, 6:22 na ng gabi. Ang DZUP 1602 ay kasapi ng KBP, kabisanan ng mga broadcaster ng Pilipinas. Sa DZUP 1602,
kasali ka.
Kasali ka.
Halika na makinig sa DZUP 1602.
Samahan niyo kaming mahook
sa isang malaman,
matapang,
at masayang usapan.
Psycho Clock Habits!
6 to 7 ng gabi, tuwing Huwebes,
sa DZUP 1602,
kasali ka!
Mga Eskotis ka! Ilabas ang inyong natatanging talento sa paggawa ng malikhaing obra at sumali sa pre-event contests ng Celebrate Life 2019 sa temang kalusugang pangkaisipan sa bayang pagyakap sa kabuuan ng buhay tungo sa malawakang pananaw. Makilahok sa mga paligsahan para sa poster making, songwriting, essay writing at poem making para sa pagkakataong magwagi ng 7,000 pesos na cash prize. Bukas ito sa lahat ng UP students. Maaaring magpasa ng inyong mga likha hanggang September 10 sa Room 3206, Cal Pavilion 3. Para sa iba pang detalye, bisitahin lamang ang facebook.com/ocg.upd. Ang Celebrate Life ay hatid sa inyo ng UP Diliman Office of Counseling and Guidance sa pakikipagtulungan sa DZUP 1602, kasali ka. DZUP at 60, ituloy ang kwento.
Make Eco Bricks now. Step 1, clean and dry out an empty 500ml PET bottle. Step 2, pack the bottle with dry, non-biodegradable wrappers until it is completely filled and compact. Step 3, for UP Diliman students, you may deposit your Eco Bricks at the UP Haring Ibon Tambayan. Check out the plastic solution on Facebook for more drop-off points near you. These Eco Bricks can build flood rafts, homes, and schools.
Maging bahagi ng plastic solution. Isang paalala mula sa DZUP 1602, kasali ka.
Halika, usap tayo sa Solero Nair.
Okay, ito po si classmate Leanne.
At ako si classmate Eileen.
Kasama natin si classmate Macron Banderlipe the First.
Magandang gabi po, Le.
Mula sa School of Continuing and Lifelong Education sa National University of Singapore. So, dahil tayo naman ay nasa UP classmate, 'di ba? So, kailangan natin pagtugmain yung ganitong mga initiatives ng NUS at UP sa issue ng lifelong learning, no? Paano ba makakakuha ng mga lessons and best practices ang ating universidad? From NUS. So, pwede bang bigyan mo kami ng kwento tungkol sa anong mga ginagawa nyo at ano tong scale in the first place? Ano ba tong eskwelahan ng scale?
Mm-hmm. So, explain ko lang, no? Siyempre, may pinag-ugatan din tayo. Taga-UP rin tayo. So, tinapos natin yung ating undergraduate dito at saka sa Soleno, Diploma Industrial Relations. Nagkaroon ako ng opportunity to do my master's sa NUS, no, 2012. And then since then, I've joined the university in its adult education and continuing education. And then recently, I got into the School of Continuing and Lifelong Education. So I will share with you a perspective na based dun sa personal experience ko of how I've seen Singapore evolve in terms of embracing lifelong learning programs and how the university envisions itself na maging key player to introduce lifelong learning programs in the future. Siguro babalikan ko yung tanong na what is SCALE, no? So what is the School of Continuing and Lifelong Education? Actually, it's one of the 17 faculties within the National University of Singapore.
Pag sinabi mong faculties, classmates sa atin, anong katumbas
yun? Yan yung mga College of Architecture, okay. College of Social Sciences and Philosophy, so sa kanila faculty, no? Faculty or school. So, ibig sabihin, hindi siya under ng isang for example, College of Architecture, hindi siya under ng School of ng Faculty of Business. Hindi siya under ng isa pang, for example, School of Computing. Pare-pareho sila. And I guess this is also the attempt of the university to spread a message to everyone that lifelong learning and continuing education will be an integral component for not just the survival of the university, pero an integral to contribute immensely to the country. So SCALE was organized in 2016. So actually kami yung pinakabatang school, no, sa NUS. Pero we were organized as a policy response to SCALE's future. No? So SCALE's future, maraming nagtatanong at siguro marami na rin nakakarinig nito. Maraming na rin akong nakausap sa ating mga industry associations and mga professional representatives. No? Ang SCALE's future actually, it's a national initiative na inintroduce ng Singapore government. Yun nga, with the aim of preparing the Singapore population to be adept with the challenges and disruptions of Industry 4.0 technologies. No? So, kasama doon sa naging pagtalakay at posisyon ng Institutes of Higher Learning, kabilang ang NUS, malaki ang kanilang naging papel doon. So, dahil syempre, it's a policy response to SCALE's future, kailangan mag-offer ang NUS at ang mga ibang universities, polytechnic institutes at technical education schools ng mga programa na umaangkop dun sa mga pangangailangan ng bansa.
Okay, maputol kita classmate. So ano yung mga programa na tinutukoy mo na ino-offer ng SCALE?
Yes. So basically bago ko sagutin yan, sasabihin ko rin na sa Singapore, meron din silang tinatawag na Industry Transformation Map. Ito ay dinesign, ito ay pinag-aralan, ito in-identify ng kanilang Ministry of Trade and Industry. Mm-hmm. Around 23 of them ang nire-review nila every 3 to 5 years. No? Because of that, yung Industry Transformation Maps, in a way, compelled the Ministry of Education na mag-identify ng at least 33 na competencies na kailangan ng future workforce ng Singapore. And with that, NUS SCALE was organized to offer 3 programs. So one is the academic component, which I will explain later. So ito basically yung mga degree programs na in-offer natin, like a Bachelor of Technology program na part-time compared to the traditional full-time programs. So meron din tayong executive and professional development. So basically, itong mga programs na ito ay naka-anchor nga dun sa industry transformation maps and competency guidelines na pin-provide ng Singapore government. And then, may tinatawag din tayo na SCALE Global, which is basically my team. No? So kami naman, tinitingnan namin kung paano mai-a-apply o maibabahagi yung lessons ng SCALE's future sa ibang mga bansa sa mundo. At tinitingnan din namin kung yung mga skills ba na na-identify para sa Singapore ay kapareho din ng mga skills na kailangan din ng ibang bansa. Mm-hmm. O baka meron pang mga ibang skills na emerging na hindi na-identify ng Singapore government na potentially maipapasok din natin sa mainstream. So yun yung ecosystem ngayon ng NUS SCALE.
Parang ang ganda kasi yung sinasabi mo, parang inire-reflect niya yung coordination na nangyari, mm-hmm, no, between or among yung industry side. Kasi meron siyang industry transformation map. Siyempre, magagaling yan sa industry, di ba? And then, meron ka ring side ng government. Kasi yung funds, di ba? Mm-hmm. And then, yung academe. na yun na nga yung NUS plus other institutes of learning na ganun yung isa sa mga naging thrust, no? You have to provide yung ganitong mga programa. So ito yung isang siguro wala pa sa atin, no? Ito yung isang pwede nating matutunan na leksyon, no? Na dapat mag-work together tong tatlong ano na to, tong grupo. Kasi yun ang isang lacking sa Pilipinas, palagay ko. Eh. Hindi natin,
coordination.
Yes, hindi natin ma-identify ano ba yung skills. Katulad na sinabi mo, meron na silang ay na-identify sa Singapore na ano ba yung mga skills na kailangan. So, alam ng ano, alam ng academe, ito yung kailangan ng industry. So, ito yung kailangan natin i-develop. I don't think meron tayong ganun sa Pilipinas.
May mga attempt, no? Siguro kukomentuhan ko lang din na siguro may mga attempt tayo pero medyo sabihin natin exclusive yung approach. Siguro maganda rin tignan na yung Skills Future as a national movement in Singapore, katulad din ng mga ibang polisiyang kanilang pinapatupad, pumapasok kasi ito dun sa kanilang guideline na whole of government approach, no? Guideline and a philosophy. Guideline kasi kailangan talaga nilang mag-usap para ma-identify at ma-identify ang mga issue, for example, na kinakaharap in a different lenses, no? So pag nabawa, pag pinag-usapan natin ang future of work, paano maapektuhan ang Ministry of Health, paano maapektuhan ang Ministry of Justice, paano maapektuhan at ang iba't ibang mga sangay ng gobyerno sa Singapore. So in the same way that when you talk about the future of work, kailangan nag-uusap din sila para ma-address ng sama-sama at hindi lang ng iisang agency ang problema, no, na kanilang kinakaharap when it comes to workforce and skills development.
Okay. Dito sa ano, kanina during the break may na-mention ka na mga degree programs na talagang pinapakita yung parang interdisciplinarity,
yes,
approach nung ano, nung mga programa ninyo. I don't know if it's only sa scale or sa ibang mga faculties kung tawagin ninyo doon sa NUS, but can you talk more about this? Na kasi dito sa UP ang experience natin ay bawa history, 'di ba? History ka lang talaga.
Yes.
Engineering, chemical engineering, industrial engineering, iba-iba talaga siya ng kumbaga ng stream, ng strand na medyo talagang kumbaga sa linya diretsong diretso.
Exclusive ba 'yung domain?
Oh, 'yun kung okay, so if you want to call it that. So how is it in Singapore?
So yung experiences namin sa Singapore, i-share ko lang, no. So early this academic year, so August kami nagsistart sa NUS. So nag-introduce kami ng bagong programa ngayon. Which is actually the Master of Science in Industry 4.0. So basically itong program na to, it's a collaboration of 5 different institutes within NUS and faculties. So SCALE is actually the convener of this program. So we also lent our expertise in this. So meron din tayong collaboration with the School of Computing. We also collaborated with our Faculty of Engineering and Faculty of Science as well as our Institute of System Science. Nakalimutan ko yung isa. But again, it shows na even within the NUS, kailangan din nilang mag-usap to offer this kind of, I would say, a pioneering yet highly relevant and a very important program to support a workforce na kailangan ng isang masusing pang-unawa at multidisciplinaryong pang-unawa sa industry, no, sa disruptions ng Industry 4.0. So because of that program, may mga modules sila na kukunin nila sa SCALE, may mga faculty na magtuturo from the science faculty na pwedeng kunin ng estudyante as an elective, pwede rin silang pumunta sa School of Computing kung gusto nilang mag-mainstream sa data science or data analytics. So kumbaga, binibigyan mo pa ng freedom and actually ng opportunity ang bata na mag-decide ng kanyang learning pathway. And in that sense, kagraduate ang bata sa MSc program na malalim ang kanyang pang-unawa sa Industry 4.0 at meron siyang espesipikong paraan para matalakay halimbawa yung issue na gusto niyang i-resolve, no, during the whole course of his or her program.
Parang ganyan na rin halos yung approach or may semblance ng ganyang approach sa ating university, di ba? Meron yung parang pwede ka kumuha ng electives from different colleges or kung ano ang interest mo, di ba? And I'm sure this will all enrich yung learning na hindi lang sa yung field na talagang pinag-aaralan kung yung major mo, pero it will give you parang a more holistic, a more rounded perspective and understanding of your field. So parang katulad din yan ng mini-mention mo or dinidescribe, pero siguro mas deliberate at talagang
each of the faculty, they sit in the program team. So hindi to halimbawa kinonvene lang ng scale tapos kinausap lang nila yung faculty na, sige, kumuha kayo ng module dyan. They really have to sit together and discuss, you know, and talk about it. Kasi otherwise, you know, kung ganun lang din naman na scale lang ang mag-o-offer ng program tapos hindi naman sila nangangausap ng ibang faculty, magiging sabog yung learning outcomes. So yung learning outcomes, dineside yan ng the entire program team, comprised mainly of representatives from the different faculties sa sinabi ko kanina.
Okay.
So yan, I think ang kailangan baguhin sa atin that different departments should talk. I think the whole CHED should talk. Diba?
Kasi should be involved,
nga,
no?
Yes. Kasi nga, parang ano, holistic eh. Para kang open na pwede kang kung ano ang interest mo, pwede kang pumunta doon with no barriers. Now, no, you have to take the exam before you can cross this department. Parang ganyan. So, parang open siya to all fields. Pero ang tanong ko, how ready is the Philippines man sa Industry 4.0?
Ang masasabi ko dyan is that, well, unang-una nandito na tayo sa Industry 4.0, no? At siguro bago tayo magsimula ng programa, nagre-recap lang din ako ng mga recent news na lumabas, no? Na nagsasabi na even our call center industry, around 800,000 jobs will be disrupted in the next 2 to 5 years because of these developments, no, of these i4.0 technologies na nagpe-prevail na sa ating market. And I would say that will cause some sort of a concern. One, for the employers, kasi syempre kailangan nilang maghanap ngayon ng alternative pathways for their current employees para hindi naman sila ma-displace.
Yes.
Now, we still always believe in the idea of social justice and access to employment, pero syempre kailangan din as a business makita din nila saan posibleng pumunta tong taong to pag halimbawa ang voice industry ay mamatay na halimbawa or mag-decline, no? So yung pangalawa naman is also on the side of the employee, kasi I was trained, for example, to be a call center agent, pero hindi ako na-trained to do data analytics. So, paano ko ako makaka-jumpstart, or how do I jumpstart my career into a new dimension para naman hindi ako, para to better prepare myself, no? One is to better prepare yourself. Second is, pag nandun-dun na ako, hindi ako magiging burden sa employer na wala akong kaalaman, na basta nila ako ipinasok dito para lang sabihin na hindi sila nagtanggal ng empleyado. But then again, it's still a national, it's even an enterprise level conversation sa kailangang mangyari din sa atin. Kasi nandito na eh, no? So, kailangan lang talaga mag-usap at kailangan maipasok sa mainstream ang lifelong learning para makapag-identify tayo ng kanya-kanyang pathways ng mga workers para in the future, pag talagang naapektuhan na sila, then they can better prepare or they can actually be more resilient to accept new roles within the organization, or they can even be more mobile, you know, when they plan to switch to different industry.
Itong Master of Science, ano ba to? Master of Science
in Industry
4.0. So, ilang taon itong programa na to?
So, itong program na to, pwede mo siyang tapusin within 1 year or 2 years. Although hindi ako part ng program team, pero sa pagkakaintindi ko sa program na ito, dahil nga may pathways ka, no, for that, pwede mo siyang tapusin in 1 year yung program. Pero kung halimbawa, nagtatrabaho ka sa Singapore, pwede mo siyang tapusin in 2 years, no? So pwedeng hindi ka full load during the semester, kukunin mo yung mga core programs muna, tapos susundan mo ng mga electives in the following semesters. So again, it's a part-time program then na para sa mga nakabase sa Singapore na pwede nila itong kunin. Siguro i-refer ko din to dun sa isa pang undergraduate program na in-offer din namin. So this is the first time na actually nag-offer ang NUS ng mga part-time bachelor program. So we also have like a Bachelor of Technology program na pwede kang mag-specialize into engineering, either engineering or computing. Pero ito, naka-design to para sa mga bata o sa mga estudyante na nagtatrabaho sa umaga at nag-aaral sa gabi. So most of the programs are offered at night. Ang objective nito is ayaw naming masira yung iyong employment record. Ayaw naming maging sagabal kasi syempre ma-breadwinners din yung iba dito. Gusto namin na nagtatrabaho pa rin yung tao but at the same time, nagpo-pursue pa rin siya ng higher learning. So, di ba sa atin sa UP, meron tayong concept ng maximum residency rule na kailangan matapos mo ang program ng ganitong taon. Otherwise, makikick out ka, no? O kailangan mong mag-appeal. Ngayon, nakikita na ng NUS through the lifelong learning philosophy na hindi mo kailangan tapusin ang program mo in 4 years. Pwede kang magtrabaho for the rest of your life at tapusin mo yung degree mo in 10 years. And it's perfectly fine. No? So feeling ko, yun din yung nakikita ko na baka mindset na pwede na rin nating i-embrace, no, sa mga universidad dito sa Pilipinas na baka hindi naman kailangan talaga nating tapusin in 4 years. Baka siguro kailangan tayo mag-provide ng enabling spaces na lalo na sa mga nagtatrabaho na ngayon na hindi ma-disrupt yung kanilang income pero at the same time may aspirations kasi sila para magpatuloy sa kanilang pag-aaral. So, yun ang nire-recognize ngayon ng NUS, no? And that's why they're offering these kinds of programs already, even part-time programs.
Very interesting. Classmate tayo, no? At alam mo, ang ganda nung ganong mga innovations pagdating sa higher learning. Kasi parang kitang-kita mo talaga kung paanong yung university is trying to adapt itself doon sa pagbabago. And yung parang na-foresee na nila or siguro in-anticipate na nila yung future needs ng hindi lang siguro nung sector pero nung yun na nga, holistically ng buong bansa ng ekonomiya. And I would siguro hindi na natin magtataka na Singapore is doing that because it's one of really the leaders sa ating rehiyon pagdating sa ganitong mga developments, no. Sa ating pagbabalik, pag-usapan naman natin yung lifelong learning pagdating sa mga, alam mo yon, yung mga grupo ng individuals who are already out of school, ganyan, or tapos na ng college. Correct. Or medyo hindi na interesadong mag-masters, di ba? Ano yun naman yung mga yun ang ginagawa ninyo sa scale kung meron or sa university or as a whole. Yeah. So ayan. Alright. So ayan ang pag-uusapan natin. Ang oras po ay 6:43. Ang DZUP 1602 ay kasapi ng KBP Kapisanan ng mga broadcaster ng Pilipinas. Sa DZUP 1602, kasali ka! Halika na makinig sa DZUP 1602.
Ito na ang programang kukumpleto sa Webes nyo.
Yun!
Tampok ang mga boses, kwento at talento ng ating mga kawani, reps at mga guro ng bayan.
Yun!
Tara na at pakinsa sa usapan para sa isang pamantasan at bansang masaya, masigla, malaya, makamamamayan at makabayan. Para sa isang tatakbon nyo na usapan, Yun! Tuwing Huwebes, alauna hanggang alas dos ng hapon, dito lang sa DZUP 1602, kasali ka!
Mag-ulat, magsulat, at magmulat. Hatid ng Union of Journalists of the Philippines, UP, ang Diaryolog. Journalism Summit 2.0, isang campus journalism workshop. Ngayong September 7, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. sa UPFI Film Studio, UP Diliman. Matuto ng iba't ibang pamamaraan ng news writing, feature writing, editorial, sports news, at photojournalism. Bukas ito para sa mga junior at senior high school students na interesadong mag-aral ng journalism at maging tunay na alagad ng media. Para sa ibang detalye, i-contact si Abby Boyser sa 0905-240-5380 o tignan ang UJP UP Diliman Facebook page. Ang Diaryolog Journalism Summit 2.0 ay hatid sa inyo ng Union of Journalists of the Philippines, UP, sa pakikipagtulungan sa DZUP 1602, kasali ka. DZUP at 60, ituloy ang kwento.
Kung sakaling lumindol, manatiling kalmado at huwag tatakbo, umiwas sa mga gamit na pwedeng mahulog o mabasag. Laging tandaan, duck, cover, at hold. Kumapit hanggang matapos ang pagyanig upang maprotektahan ang sarili.
Ang buhay ay mahalaga, kaya maging alerto ka. Isang paalala mula sa DZUP 1602, kasali ka.
Liga, usap tayo sa Soler on Air.
Okay, nagbabalik ang Soler on Air. Ako po si Classmate Lian.
At ako naman si Classmate Aileen.
Kasama pa rin natin si Classmate Macron.
Magandang gabi po ulit.
Ayan, ang scale ng NUS. So, Classmate, so halimbawa, punta na tayo dito sa lifelong learning for those who are medyo ano na, nasa advanced age na or siguro hindi na talaga siya dito nasa formative or even sa higher learning ng education. And what programs do you offer sa NUS para sa kanila to ensure na updated, upgraded, upscaled lagi ang kanilang skills?
So, dati, yung, again, yung thinking natin na pag natapos ka sa pag-aaral, di ba, pag natapos na, nareceive mo na yung diploma mo, nakagraduate ka na, nakapagtrabaho ka na, ang tendency, usually, hindi ka na bumabalik sa university. Or siguro mag-upskill ka lang kapag, halimbawa, ang company HR ninyo nag-sponsor ng isang training program, no? So, dun lang tayo nag-upskill. But then, the university now has shifted its policy. One is because we recognized that we have to play a key role in the development of Southeast Asia. Na kapag halimbawa, we produce a population that fosters lifelong learning, then it also spreads around the region. So that's why we have to influence Southeast Asia. Number two, we also recognize that yung mga estudyante natin, sa, at least in NUS, ang thinking namin ngayon is that kailangan tignan din natin sila even after they finish their program. So ngayon, meron ang mandate ng NUS is we will look after you even for the next 20 years after you graduate from the program. So by the time that you reach 40, may mga intervention programs pa rin kami na pwede naming i-offer sa inyo, na pwede mong kunin as an alumnus of NUS para makapag-upskill ka ng iyong mga capabilities o para makapag-ready ka if in case you want to do a career transition, mm-hmm, or even if you want to put up your own enterprise or become a businessman or an entrepreneur yourself.
Okay, so paano yung ginagawa ito, Classmate?
Yeah, so may program tayo sa NUS na tinatawag natin na NUS Lifelong Learners. So yung idea is that, alam mo yon, so sobrang dami ng modules na meron ka sa NUS, even in your program, hindi mo matitake lahat, no? So ang idea dito is that now NUS is offering, at least in my current understanding, roughly around 750 modular courses from 12 categories. So maybe I can share some of these categories: data analytics, arts and social sciences, business and management, computing and tech services, ICT, design, environment, healthcare, medicine, supply chain and logistics, and public policy and engineering.
Ano yun? Mga short term ba to, Classmate?
No, these are actually like semester long programs, mm-hmm, na pwedeng mag-sign up ang isang estudyante For example, ako, nakagraduate na ako. Tapos gusto kong halimbawa maging data scientist. So, I can actually enroll sa mga existing modules na ino-offer during the semester ng NUS School of Computing. And at the same time, you know, I participate together with the students who are actually enrolled into the program. So, actually, meron tong pros. Yung pros is because, you know, mas nagiging diverse yung environment. So, meron ka ng combination of those na walang experience and meron ka na rin students na may experience na in the field, no? So, may mga ganong thinking. Pero pros, cons din siya kasi problema ngayon ng teacher kung paano niya ngayon ibabalance yung dynamics ng klase. But I guess itong mga to ay pwede naman siyang remedyuhan, no? Pwede mo silang i-regroup yung mga may experience na dito, so pwede silang maging one group, you know, if they will work on a specific project. But I guess that idea of the student enrolling again into a modules, you know, into modules offered by the university during the semester, mm-hmm. actually, that is actually a very important step to prepare the student, not just to become resilient in his work, but also to prepare him for the future.
So parang ano siya, non-degree program?
Well,
siya?
Non-degree siya in a way kasi modules pa lang yung kinukuha mo. Pero pag halimbawa nakakuha ka ng series of modules under that particular category or that particular cluster, ang expectation nun is that, you know, whether matapos mo yung specific set of modules within maybe 2-3 years or even 5 years, pwede mo siyang i-apply for an additional qualification, either another undergraduate mm-hmm. degree or another master's degree. Mm-hmm. So in a way, although you're just taking modules now, pero in the future, it might lead to an additional degree qualification, no?
Pwedeng makredit. So,
makikredit. Mm. Oo, credited yun kasi credited programs yung mga modules sa kinukuha ng mga estudyante naman eh. So yun. So interesting,
so pwede pala unti-unti and then later on na-realize mo marami ka nang nakuha. Uy, this qualifies for a new degree.
Yes,
so
this qualifies for a new degree, no? If it's in the main, yes. If it's in the same category, yes, precisely.
Mm. Nice.
Galing. Sa atin kasi, I mean, dito sa university, yun, wala, no? I don't think may ganong, ano,
approach.
May ganong option, no? Alam ko noon, merong non-degree courses, di ba? May ganon, eh. Mm-hmm. Pero itong sa inyo, iba rin. Pagka-graduate mo, pasok ka sa, yun nga, sa mm-hmm. mga gusto mong modules, mm-hmm. kung tawagin, or siguro sa atin, courses
yeah,
or
courses,
subjects, no?
Siyempre may mga prerequisites din, halimbawa magde-data science ka pero wala talaga akong background sa data science, so pwede akong kumuha ng mga refresher programs para by the time na mag-open ulit ng slots for data science, pwede ko nang i-enroll yung mga fundamental module. I guess what it says, you know, what it signifies na lahat, regardless of your background, kung ano man yung pinagdaanan mo, kung ano man yung professional background mo, it doesn't stop you from transforming into another profession.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't stop you from pursuing another career or trajectory na gusto mong mangyari during the course of your professional life.
Yes, so it mm-hmm. makes it easier for you
yes.
to move into a different field, di ba?
Yes, yes.
Kasi sa atin parang pag-graduate ka na, graduate ka, mm-hmm. for example, ng say social sciences, diba? Parang ang hirap na to shift to a different career.
Yes.
Pagka natapos mo na. Unless mag-aral ka uli talaga na as in mag-enroll.
A new course.
Diba?
Mm-hmm.
Tapos, medyo mahirap.
Tapos diba, yung thinking na pag halimbawa, feeling mo hindi ka na nagbo-blossom sa career mo, gusto mo nang mag-move out, tapos gusto mo mag-pursue ng full-time program, by the time na matapos mo yung program mo, at least sa case ng Pilipinas, medyo mahihirapan ka rin kasi hahabulin mo yun, di ba? Mawawalan ka ng ilang years na work experience, no? So baka magsimula ka ulit sa scratch. Tapos by that time na ma-realize mo na masyado na pala akong matanda for this. Pero at least yung programs na in-offer sa NUS, in a way, this does not deter you from still pursuing your professional pursuits, you mm-hmm. know, or programs during the day. So, pwede ka pa rin magtrabaho during the day, pwede kang mag-skip ng afternoon mo, one afternoon in a week para lang umattend ng module, tapos pwede ka rin pwede ka rin mag, halimbawa, magpursu ng program sa gabi. No? Hindi ka, kumbaga, nagpapatuloy yung pag-aaral mo.
Maraming options. Mm-hmm. Maraming, medyo flexible sila. That's what, I think, that's one thing that they offer, yung flexibility sa schedules.
Pero may classmate may nabanggit niya kanina, how about those hindi nakapagtapos ng high school? Diba? May nabanggit kayo mga batang gusto mag-pursue pero nasa elementary stage lang or hindi naka... paano yun? May way ba for them to uplift?
Hindi kita masasagot dyan, not because I don't think walang program ang Singapore government. Pero siguro I will speak in my experience sa NUS kasi ang priority halimbawa namin, at least we start our lifelong learning continuum by the age of 15. No? Ah. So, by the age of 15, siguro ang equivalent nito nasa grade 9, grade 10, grade 11 dito sa atin sa Pilipinas. So, ang thinking namin is, paano kayo yung intervention na pwede naming ibigay sa isang bata para by the time na he or she has to make a decision on what program to choose, on how, you know, does he even, she envision himself or herself to be in this line of profession, kumbaga nabibigyan na ng skill yung bata na mag-decide. So that's why even at scale, we also offer various summer schools. And these summer schools are very multidisciplinary in nature. Para by the time na magkaroon sila ng pang-unawa sa iba't ibang perspektiba na tumatalakay lang din naman sa isang issue, by the time na matapos yung programa nila, okay, for example, the case of aging in Singapore, no? So we offer a summer program na maraming perspectives from the economists, from the public policy, from engineering, from technology, health. From health, from business. Mm-hmm. By the time na matapos yung programa nila, pwede niya sabihin sa kanyang sarili na, okay, I want to be a technology specialist. And in the course of my studies in NUS, I actually want to take my modules to refine my expertise on how to develop technology-based solutions to help the elderly. Mm. So, isang issue yon na pinag-aaralan ninyo, pero you look at it at multiple lenses. So, that's basically the nature of our summer programs. Mm-hmm. Pwede kita siguro sagutin, classmate, na may mga programs, may mga interventions tayo din para dun sa mga kabataan, no, sa mga out of school youth. Well, minimal lang din naman yung mga out of school youth kasi sa Singapore, required ka talaga mag-aral, no? So, ang mga interventions sa to, pinoprovide din basically ng ating mga primary schools and secondary schools. And at the same time, syempre, may mga alternative learning camps ka din that are appropriate at their level. Pero at least within NUS, we made it mandatory, at least arbitrary, no? Now, we start at 15, at least up to 40 years old. So, yan ang aming continuum in terms of our contribution to the lifelong learning progress of a person in Singapore.
15 to 40
years old.
40.
Yeah? Okay, very nice.
Galing, no? Lipat na tayo sa Singapore.
No, lagi ko nga sinasabi na, you know, although I've been in Singapore for 7 years, lahat ng pwede ko matutunan sa Singapore, kaya siguro I took this opportunity din na i-explain din to sa atin sa mga tagapakinig natin sa Pilipinas. It's kasi baka meron din tayong matutunan din dito.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure.
No? Of course, yes. At saka yun nga, we are on this future of work, on the way to the future.
Yes.
Yes. So,
the future is very uncertain, ate. So, yeah.
So, we have to, yun nga, continue our learnings talaga.
So, we're very thankful to you, Macron, for sharing with us itong mga bagong developments, no, na nasa konteksto ng academe, higher education. Salamat sa pag-share mo sa mga ginagawang programa sa NUS. Pero malaki kasing implication nito, eh, 'di ba, sa world of work.
Pag
matatransform mo kasi yung yung tao, yung skills, yung at saka yung contribution niya sa kanyang workplace pagdating ng araw, na ganito ka enriching yung environment na binibigay ng ating mga eskwelahan pagdating sa ayun nga pagpapalawak ng kaalaman ng ating mga yung human capital ng kumbaga ng bansa. So, very interesting yung mga developments na to. And katulad nga nasabi natin, we wouldn't expect less from Singapore, of course.
Of course.
Being a leader pagdating sa mga innovations in different areas. At hindi syempre nahuhuli yung NUS pagdating sa education. And ano sa palagay niyo naman ang magandang lesson na pwede nating makuha from this? I mean, we're course at Singapore ka, but you also know the Philippine situation. Yes, what are the little doable sa tingin mo at saan ba tayo pwedeng mag-umpisa?
Lagi kong sinasabi na hindi mahirap i-ideate para sa Pilipinas yung konteksto ng lifelong learning because we really have a very big population at kalat-kalat tayo. So maraming interventions tayo na pwedeng scale depende kung anong age bracket mo, kung anong income profile mo or background. Ang masasabi ko lang is siguro kailangan din nating magkaroon ng isang integrative mindset. Feeling ko that's the most and I would say the most essential component of every policy na kailangan nating i-implement din in our country, no? Again, I always go back to this success of Singapore because of the whole of government approach. Mm-hmm. Na pag tinatalakay nilang isang issue, they always look at it at, you know, many different perspectives. Meaning perspectives coming from the different coordinating and integral agencies of the government. So sana tayo din, even in our university level sa UP at sa mga iba pang paaralan dito, no, tingnan din natin halimbawa yung ganong klaseng pagtingin. In fact, nagsimula na tayo dyan eh. Nung nagkaroon, nung inintroduce yung Makabayan program, mm-hmm, nagkaroon na rin tayo ng ganong attempt na magkaroon ng multidisciplinary perspectives. Kahit ang tinuturo mo ay civica pero ang tinatalakay mo ay isyong pang-agham, no? So baka siguro i-enforce pa natin mas lalo yung ganong integrative approach para mas maging sustainable at mas maging, kumbaga, magkaroon tayo ng buy-in sa mga stakeholders about the idea of continuing education and lifelong learning.
Okay, and with that we end the program. Sayang, no? We can still talk about this yes, topic.
Yeah, pag nandito pa, diba, siya next week, we can continue this.
Bakit sayang hindi? Wala na tayong oras. It's very interesting. At sa pagbabalik mo, ha, sa galing uli sa Singapore, baka meron ka na namang mga bagong pwedeng ibahagi sa atin, sa ating programa. Hintayin ka namin.
Sige po, susulat po ako ulit kay salamat po kay Dean Asuncion na pinayagan po tayo dito na makatrabaho kayo sa show na ito ngayong hanggabi.
Okay.
So, salamat po.
Salamat sa iyo, Classmate Macron. At hanggang sa susunod na Miyerkules po, tandaan po natin ang lakas paggawa ay sandigan ng ating hinahangad na tagumpay.
At lahat tayo ay makikinabang kung may sapat at disenteng trabaho sa bansa. Ang oras ay 7:01 na ng gabi. Ang DZUP ay 1602 ay kasapin ng KBP, kapisanan ng mga broadcaster ng Pilipinas. Sa DZUP 1602, kasali ka!
Hanggang sa susunod na Miyerkules, magsama-sama tayong muli dito sa Solero Nair. Sa Solero Nair.